Good morning. Today's Daf in the Dharma, Ayin Gimel. We're starting on Ayin Beis Amud Beis. We're starting about six lines from the bottom of the Amud Tashma. And what are we dunning on? A statement by Rami Bar Chama. Not a statement, but a question of Rami Bar Chama. He wanted to know that as a prerequisite to being made for a neder, so does the husband have to hear the neder? Now that is a funny question because the pasuk says, Vishama Isha, right? In the Parsha of Nedarim, so the Torah is pretty clear. It's pretty explicit. That what happens is that usually sequencing is that the wife makes a neder, husband hears about the neder, and then as a reaction to his displeasure of the neder, he goes and he's made for the neder. So, as a simple reading of the psukim, one would come to the conclusion, of course the husband has to hear the neder. That's the pasuk. So, Rami Bar Chama says maybe, but the alternative, of course, is that the Torah is not giving us a prerequisite, the Torah is just simply telling us what normally happens. Normally happens is the husband hears. But it's not a prerequisite to Afara, meaning the ability for the husband to be Mayfair can exist independent of Shmiah. In other words, if his wife made a neder, the husband could just simply come along and say, I'm Mayfair your neder. Now, how do we get on to this discussion? Because we have a Mishnah that we learned in yesterday's Daf that certainly seems to lead us to a conclusion. If you remember the Mishnah yesterday, Derech Tamid Chachamim. The Mishnah yesterday on Ayin Beis Amud Beis says that, generally speaking, if you're Talmid Chacham and you're knowledgeable in the arts of Hafara, so what you're going to do is that your last opportunity to be Mefer, you'll take advantage of that last opportunity. So as she's leaving your Rishus, right, the father who is now saying goodbye to his daughter as she's now going to the second stage of marriage, and even the Arus, who now is not saying goodbye to his wife, in other words, but still, as an Arus, he also now will lose his opportunity to be made for current Nedarim. So as she now moves from one stage to another stage of life, so they're going to be made for Nedarim. Do they know that she made a Neder? Not necessarily. But in the event that she made a Neder, good, they're going to be made for. So from our Mishnah, certainly it would indicate that Hafara can exist even without Shmiah. The Gemara said not necessarily. The Gemara gave us a way to explain the Mishnah. Okay, good. So, but we are right now dealing with the question of Rami Bar Chama, and for the duration of the Amud Aleph of today's Daf, Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph. So we are going to be going back and forth on this very issue. Does the husband need to hear the neder in order to be made for it? Good. Rami Bar Chama's question is going to take up the first half of today's Daf, and the second half of today's Daf, we're going to talk about when the husband, meaning fully wedded husband, is able, the Nisuin, when is he able to start being made for the Nedarim of his wife? And that will be the Amud Beis. Okay, and very, very nice compartmentalized Daf in terms of two topics covering the totality of today's Daf. Let's get underway. Tashma. So over here on Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, on Ayin Beis Amud Beis, so we are going to continue now citing Arise one way or another, and here we go. We're going to have a brisa. Omer la apotropos kol nedarim shenederes ishto, ishti mikan va'ad shavo mimakom ploni hefer. So what does he do? He's going away. And so what does he do? He sets up an apotropos, a custodian over his house. Somebody who's going to supervise and see to that the needs of his house is taken care of. And, no, if you hear my wife make a neder, I'm deputizing you. You will now be formally deputized by me, and that you're going to be made for the nedarim. Okay, the word apotropos, by the way, indicates that he's a quasi shliach. We can even go further. We could take out the word quasi. He is your shliach. Anyway, so I'm deputizing somebody to be made for the nedarim of my wife. The hefer la. Okay, and he does what he's instructed to do. I went away. He was made for the nedarim, and so now it's a really simple question: Can I be made for via shliach? Very simple. So Yachol Yemu Farim Tamalam Rishai Kamen Avishai Farin Adiver Rabbi Yoshia. So Rabbi Yoshia says no, he can't. Why? Because we have a pasuk. The pasuk says Ishai Kamen Avishai Farino. That the husband Isha, by the way, just proper reading Isha. That's a mapikay. So it's Ish Shalah, her husband. So Isha Yikimen Avishai Yifarena. Either the husband can be mekayim the neder, he can sustain the neder, or he can be mefer, he can revoke the neder. It says the word Isha twice. It didn't have to say the word Isha twice. The pasuk could have just simply said Isha yikimena o yifirena. So why does it say twice? It means the husband and only the husband proper. Only the principal himself can go ahead and be made for nedarim, not the shliach. And I'm Rabbi Rav Yonasan, it's in b'chol ha-Torah kula, shulchosh adam kamoso. And Rabbi Yonasan says, what are you talking about? Shulchosh adam kamoso. We have a principle of shlichus. Shlichus means that when I deputize somebody, so he serves as me, he's my representative, he's more than my representative, he's me. And as such, If I can be Mefer, he can be Mefer as well. So the Chachamim argue on Rabbi Yoshia. So good. And what about the Drasha? Okay. Good. It's a wonderful question. What about the Drasha? So, but anyway, what comes out is as follows. And the Gemara notes that the only reason why Rabbi Yoshia disagrees is because he believes over here there's a specific Drasha to have us think otherwise. But as a default position, Rabbi Yoshia would in theory agree that you could do it via Shlichus. Just happens to be that we have a Drasha. What does all this indicate? All this indicates the following. I'm deputizing somebody to be Mayfair, the Nedarim of my wife. Good. Which means I'm out of town. She made a Neder. Did I hear it? Obviously the answer is no. I'm out of town. And meanwhile, somebody's being Mayfair even though I'm not the one who heard it. So the what it would indicate now is that I could be Mayfair, the Nedarim of my wife, even though I didn't hear the neder. That's the proof of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, no, achinami damar lei, lechi shamana mefer la. The Gemara says, no, not necessarily. We gave such an answer in yesterday's daf. We're going to do it again in today's daf as well. And that is that maybe the proper understanding over here is as follows. Is that what he'll do is that he'll put a placeholder in. In other words, that what the shlech will do is he'll say, I'm going to be mefer the nedarim. And now the hafara is done now. The submission of the hafara is done now. But when is the hafara actually going to take place? It'll take place at a later point in time when I hear the neder. Okay. So the Gemara says, Hachanami damalei lechi shama na meferla. Lechi shama leferla. The Gemara says, I have this great idea. And that is, why don't you wait until you actually hear the neder? In other words, you're putting in the hafara order in now for a later point in time. How about later when you hear the neder? So you'll be mefer when you hear it. So the Gemara says, "Usava dama mitradine." So the Gemara says, "Well, the concern is that maybe at a later point in time, I'm just going to be too busy. I'll be preoccupied. My thoughts and my attention will not be available when she actually makes a neder. So if I put in a pre-order, if I put in my hafara in now, even though at a later point in time when I actually hear the neder, now I could apply the hafara at a later point in time." I'm doing it because I'm worried that maybe at a later point in time I simply won't be available. Okay. Ad Khan, that takes us to the end of the Gemara's back and forth in terms of whether or not the husband actually has to hear the neder. So we thought the apotropos might be indicative, and the Gemara says not necessarily. Okay. Take a look at the Ran on the bottom of the previous Amud. Matzina b'chol ator shulchus adam kamoso. Look at the next Ran. V'halo shmiya le'klamer. So over here, the Ran is asking a question, probably thinking about it. And that is, why don't we say the following? Really, the truth of the matter is that there is a requirement of Shmiya. Meaning, we're going back to when the Gemara first presented this as a proof. And the Gemara said, well, you know the husband didn't hear. The Ran says, I know the husband didn't hear, but you know who heard? The Shliach heard. So Vishani Hachadika Shmiya da Petropas. They came to Shukhashad and Kamoso, Havalekilu Shamabao. So why don't we say the following? Why don't we say that look, I deputized somebody and I made him, I made him my rep. He's my representative, he's me. So you know what? Maybe there is a requirement to hear. And my shliach heard. And if it's my shliach heard, so that's tantamount to me hearing. Beautiful question. Asked by the Ran, it's not just the Ran that asks this question, the Balei Tosfos asks this question as well. And over here he offers the following as an answer. Tirtzu b'Tosfos b'shem Rabbi Yosef. So he quotes one of the Balei Tosfos, Deleitha. The Misa de Baishmiya, because look, if in fact the halach is that there's a requirement of Shmiya, mi'ik emidi de Baalo mati mefer, v'shlich mati mashvilei, daham ha'itayim agufei ukim lalach, b'reisa b'maseches nazir k'rebi lazer. Before we get to, we could just stop right here and I'll just say over his answer. And that is that as a requirement of shlichus, I can only send somebody to do something that I myself could do. Okay. The shliach is going to be capped in his ability to perform only something that I myself currently can do. So in other words, if he heard, but I didn't hear, and the requirement is that I need to hear, so then the shliach cannot go ahead and perform a shlichus. Because again, once we're in a position, right? I hope everyone's following carefully. If one is in a position where I need my shlech to do something, but I currently can't do it, so then my shlech can't do it as well, right? His ability is capped at my ability. So the Tosa says is that you can't. What you can't do is you can't transfer the shmia over from the shlech to me, because if I need to hear and I didn't, so then my shlech is capped on that same ability as well. Okay, lot to think about in terms of Tosfos' answer. How exactly does that work? How does that speak to shlichus in general? Okay, important back and forth over here. And there, by the way, there are other answers as well to this question of why can't we just argue that the shliach's hearing can just simply transfer over to the mishaleach.
When you say hearing, does that mean he has to hear from the mouth of the woman, or does that mean hear to know about it? What does it mean by hearing?
Okay, fine. In other words,
if he has to hear directly from the woman, then he's preoccupied. So just do me. How long does that take to do me?
No, the husband could also put a placeholder in as well. All right, right.
Yeah, what is hearing? That's what I was
okay, fine. Hearing probably means knowledge. I would assume it means knowledge. Does he actually have to hear it from her directly? I'm unsure. Okay, good. Ein Gemal Med Aleph, we're back in the Gemara by Rami Bar Chama. Rami Bar Chama now is going to be asking a related question. So far the question has been posed, is that a shmir prerequisite, yes or no? The Gemara left the question basically unresolved. Next question of Rami Bar Chama, Cheresh Moshe, Yefer Lishto. So should can a Cheresh be made for the Nedarma's wife? Cheresh over here in this context means that he's deaf. Generally in Halacha, Cheresh is referring to a deaf mute. However, over here, we're not talking about a deaf mute. Deaf mute in Halacha is viewed as somebody who does not have Das. And over here, he's married. In other words, we assume he has Das. His lack of ability over here is just limited to him not being able to hear. And so the question really straightforward. And that is that now he can't hear. He simply lacks the ability to hear. So can he be mefer the wife's neder? In other words, there is an ability of communication. In other words, however they managed to communicate back then, whatever form of sign language they had back then. So communication is not the problem. The problem is that the actual sensation of hearing. So he lacks that sensation. Is that going to inhibit his ability to be mefer? The Gemara is going to discuss. So, in other words, let's go back to the previous question. Previously, we said that the husband doesn't have to hear. But the Gemara says, but at least he has the potential to be able to hear. I'm sorry. I don't know what I'm reading. And I even have my glasses on. Over here, however, when it comes to the Cheresh simply can't hear. In other words, maybe the requirement is that at least you have to have the potential to hear, but the Cheresh can't hear. And why should that make a distinction? Because of what Rebbe Zera taught us numerous times throughout Shas. Now, I say numerous, so here I'm not underselling. I'm not understating. You could look in the side of the Gemara, Baba Basra, Makos, Menachos, twice the Menachos, Kedushin, Yevamos, Chulin, Nida, and now we can also add to the list Nedarim, Dafayin Gimel. Okay, so this comes up multiple times throughout the Gemara. So at this point in time, I think we know what we're talking about. But a quick refresher, and that is that when you're making a mincha, so it has to be a blend of oil and flour, and the oil has to get blended into the flour. How much? What is the ratio of oil to flour that there would be a sufficient amount of blending? So it would be 60-1. Right, I know that's a ratio that we're used to hearing for a good reason. Okay, so in other words, with a ratio of 60-1, so there would be a blending, a bila. However, anything greater than that, meaning if I have 61 parts flour and 1 part oil, so you're not going to have a blending of the oil and the flour, just too much flour. Good. So that's the given ratio. Now, does that mean that I actually have to blend it together? Nah. There has to at least be a potential for it to blend together. That would be sufficient. Here as well. So, in other words, I don't need the husband to actually hear, but there has to be a potential for him to hear. So here's what we can argue, right? On side one, we can argue that the husband doesn't need to hear, meaning as we didn't conclude this. I know we didn't conclude it. But at least we pose the possibility that the husband doesn't need to hear, But at least he has to have the potential to hear. That's one. Odilma v'shama yisha lo ma'akev. Or maybe no. Maybe there is simply zero requirement to hear. Meaning, again, I know the pasuk says v'shama yisha, but maybe v'shama yisha is just describing what typically happens, but it's not a requirement at all. So amar Rav Tashma v'shama yisha prat liyisha le'esh etcheresh shmamina. So the Gemara over here ends this discussion really quickly with a brisa. And the brisa says prat lecheresh, meaning we have an exclusion. A cheresh who can't hear, so he can't be made for the nedarim. Okay. Adkan. And the Ran points out over here, the Ran cites the Ramban. The Ran points out over here, it would seem that this would also allow us to conclude on the previous question. On the previous question, does a husband who can hear, so does he actually have to hear? It sounds like from our Gemara over here, no, he doesn't actually have to hear. Meaning the only one who's excluded from being made for Nadarm is only going to be the Cheresh. But if you're a non-Cheresh, meaning you can hear, so then you can be made for the Nadar, even though you didn't actually hear. Okay, good. Anyway, Ibai Lahu, last question of the Amud Aleph, and that's Baal Ma'u Shiyafir L'Shtei Nashav Bevas Achas. Okay, so you're married to two wives. Okay, so obviously that puts a lot more responsibility on your plate. Talk about an understatement. And then they both made Nadarim, and now what you want to do is that with one statement of Afar, you want to be made for the two Nadarim at the same time. Can you do a multiple Hafara with one statement? Okay. So Ma'u Shiyafil Shenashim Vasachas Osa Dafka Olav Dafka. And once again, we have a pasuk in the Torah that would seem to indicate Osa. Right? The Osa in the pasuk would indicate that you can only do one at a time. So Am Ravina Toshmai in Mashkin Shtei Sotas Kachas Mim Neshali Bagas Bechaverta. So the Gemara turns to a really unusual other area in the Torah that gives a description of only one at a time, and that's by Sota. Okay. Multiple Sotas in the Beis HaMikdash. Talk about a busy day in the Beis HaMikdash. That means to say that two women were under suspicion of committing adultery. Okay, and the short version of the story is that the husband warned her not to be with a man. She was with a man. I'm not giving the short version. There's a debate in terms of how many witnesses I need for the warning and for the actual seclusion that she was with another man. But all the witnesses saw with the seclusion with the other man. They didn't see the actual maisa itself. So now she's under suspicion. She's a sota, and she's brought to the base of mikdash, and over there she's going to be drinking the mei sota. Okay. Happens to be two women are brought in to drink the mesota. So can we do two women at the same time? So according to the Tanakama, you can't, but not for a drasha reason, but for a svara, and that is they're going to embolden one another, right? In other words, the whole point of not the whole point, but part of the sota procedure is basically to get her to admit. Meaning, once she admits, then obviously we're not going to go forward. So hopefully at this point in time, before she actually drinks the water, an admission. Okay. Now that admission would mean that of course she's going to have to divorce her husband, and of course she's going to be forfeiting her ksuva, and she'll be prohibited to her husband from this point going forward, and she'll be prohibited to the paramour as well. Okay, so there's a lot of repercussions for admission, but in other words, have her admit. If there's another sota there, so what are the two going to do to one another? They're going to embolden one another. In other words, right, I'm kind of scared and I'm ready to admit, but I got a friend. Okay? And so according to the Tanakama, because of that concern, so therefore, bring them into the Beis HaMikdash independent one of the other. Good. And Rabbi Yehuda says, we don't need svaras. Lo min Hashemu zeh, el mishum shenemar, vishkau sa levada. And Rabbi Yehuda's counter-argument is, we have a pasuk. The pasuk says, osa. And osa allows us to make a simple drasha. Notably, one at a time. Okay. So what we're going to do now is that we're going to take the drasha of Rav Yehuda and we're going to apply it over here as well. Meaning that the osa over here is one at a time. Okay. And then you can wonder, meaning if I hold like the Tanakama, so what does that mean? Meaning, does he not understand osa to be one at a time? And then would he argue over here and say that you could be made for both simultaneously? Maybe. Okay. Adkan the first half of today's daf, part two. Okay, so within the first half of today's daf, so what we discussed again and again is how critical is the hearing component of hafara? And the answer is, it may not be a critical component. Okay. At the same time, we also concluded that at least you have to have the ability to hear. Okay. And then, and finally, we capped it off with doing hafara to two women simultaneously. Or not even simultaneously, meaning but with one statement. Amud Beis now takes us through the question of when does the husband have the ability to be made for Nedarim? Now, if I can explain this even a little bit better before we start the Mishnah. Okay, so we have, since the beginning of the parak, discussed Nara Marasa. Okay, which means that who is the owner of her Nedarim? Dual ownership. It's going to be the father, it's going to be the husband. The husband does not remove her from her father because he's not a full husband. They only went through the first stage of marriage of only Erisin. And so therefore now there is a joint ownership over that neder. Now, when he goes to the second stage of marriage, otherwise known as Nisuin, so at that point in time now she is no longer under the jurisdiction of her father at all, and the husband has exclusive ownership over her nedarim. But as a point we made earlier, let's make it again, and that is that his ownership over nedarim are only from this point going forward, meaning once he becomes a husband, he cannot be made for bekodman. Any pre-existing Nedarim before the Nisuin, he no longer has the ability to be Mefer. Okay, good. When does he become the husband? The answer is actually really simple. Nisuin, meaning when they enter into the stage of Nisuin. Now, how exactly do you enter into the stage of Nisuin? If I can remember what we all did back in Ksuvos, the Gemara is never super clear about this point. The Gemara throws around a term like Chopa. It is interesting. We made this comment before. For Kiddushin, the Gemara could not be any more specific about how to effect Kiddushin, the first stage of marriage. The Mishnah opening Mishnah of Kiddushin, Kesef Shtar Ubiya, the Gemara goes through a long discussion of each one of the methods of how to be Mekadesh a woman. That part is, the Gemara is articulate about how to do Kiddushin. But when it comes to Nisuin, we know there's a second stage, we know it's called Nisuin, the Gemara uses the word Chuppah, but what exactly does that mean? The Gemara is never clear about it. And the Rishonim debate and deliberate exactly what that means. But, okay. For our purposes right now, we could just simply say there's something called Nisuin. We can also use the word Chuppah. In fact, I will use the word Chuppah. And once we're there, so now he becomes exclusive rights, he has exclusive ownership of her Nedarim. With all that stated, now let's see the Mishnah inside. Because what the Mishnah is now going to tell us is that there may be even a point a little bit earlier where he becomes the exclusive owner of her nedarim, as we're about to explain. Bogeres. Now, the good way to read this Mishnah is to break it up into three parts. A bogeres is a woman who is just simply entered into her third developmental stage of life. She's an hour from 12 to 12 and a half. After 12 and a half years of age, she's now bogeres. Already just being a bogeres. That by itself removes her from the father. Good. That's one. Two. Shasa Yud Beis Chodesh. Shasa Yud Beis Chodesh is basically she waited 12 months. Meaning she went through Kiddushin and now it's 12 months later. Now, back in the day, 12 months now is the time that he would marry her. Now, it's really, if you know the beginning of the Gemara in Ksuvos, it's really 12 months and a Wednesday. Okay. If you understood that, fine. And if not, all right, go back to the beginning of Ksuvos. Right, listen to my shir. Listen to somebody else's shir. Doesn't matter. Anyway, so after 12 months, typically then, that's when the Nisuin would take place. And what our Mishnah is telling us is that even if the Nisuin didn't take place, but after 12 months, he's now the owner of the neder. We'll explain that better in just a moment. And finally, Almana. And Almana Lamed Yom. And as far as an Almana is concerned, so when a widow gets remarried, so how long is her Kiddushin period, typically 30 days. Rabbi Eliezer Amar Hol Baal Chai B'Mezunasa Yafir V'Chacham Emomrim Ein Abal Mefer Achi Tikanas L'Rishusam. Now, at the 12-month point, so now, when is he going to be made for the Nedarim? So according to Rabbi Eliezer, even if they didn't actually get married, but now he's Chai B'Mezunas. Okay. We discussed this in Ksuvos extensively. Let's say it here now in Nedarim Andaf Ayin Gimel. And that is, is that from Kiddushin through Nisu, up to Nisuin, he doesn't have to support her. It's a really strange, it's a strange initial stage of marriage. They're married. If she were to commit adultery, that would be an act of adultery. If they want to separate, they need a get. They're married, but they're not living together. He's still living with his parents. She's still living with her parents. And we could say it even stronger. They're not allowed to be with one another. Now, yes, in the region of Yehuda, so there was a little. They developed a closer relationship during Erison. If you understood that, fine. And if not, again, go back to Ksuvos. It's fine. But I'll just say the simple pshat. The simple pshat is that they're not allowed to be together during Erison, even though they're married. I know that's strange. So that's the Erison stage. And then a year later, so in other words, at the anniversary of their Kiddushin, so the expectation is now that they're going to get married. And at that point in time, he's obligated to support her, their husband and wife, intimate, so forth and so on. What Rabbi Eliezer is saying is that at the year, at the anniversary of their Kiddushin, even if they don't go through Chuppah for whatever reason, the Gemara in the beginning of Ksuvos goes through a host of excuses, explanations, circumstances in which they don't get married. They don't get to the second stage of marriage. According to Rabbi Eliezer, he still has to support her. That support by itself now allows him to be made for Nadar. That's Rabbi Eliezer. And the Chachamim say, no. Now, no meaning, no, they may not be arguing on the support. Meaning, they may agree that he has to support her at that point going forward, but he does not have the ownership over her Nadar. Amar Rabba, Rabbi Elazar, Mishum Shon, Amar Dever Echad, did not. And now Rabba is going to do the following, and that is, I want to put together two shitas. The shita Rabbi Eliezer, and the shita of the Mishnah Rishona. To explain further. No, I know I just read a lot. But basically it comes out like this, that a husband performs erisin to his wife. The husband under this discussion is a kohen, which means that he can now eat truma. His whole life he was eating truma, and now he's marrying a wife. And even if she's a Bas Yisrael, but now once she enters into his domain, she can eat truma herself. Now let me give a little more background over here. In other words, at what point min haTorah is she allowed to eat truma? At Kiddushin. Why? Because the Torah says who can eat truma? A kohen and any one of his kinyan kaspo, any one of his acquisitions. So if he gets an eved, so he can eat truma. If he gets a wife, he can eat truma. Right? A wife is a kinyan kaspo? Sure. In other words, how is a man mekadesh a woman? Ayde kesef. I know there are other ways to do it as well. But in other words, a wife by erison is considered kinyan kaspo. So min haTorah she can eat truma already at the point of erison. The Chachamim stepped in. The Chachamim said no. Meaning even though min haTorah she's allowed to eat truma, but we are going to postpone and delay it until Nisuin. Why? Two possible concerns. One is that she may have a mum. She may have a blemish that was undiscovered. And then when the discovery of the mum comes about at a later point in time, that will retroactively render the Kiddushin an invalid Kiddushin. It's what's called the Mekachtos. And so therefore, all the while she was eating Truma, she was doing so not as being the wife. And it's going to force us to look at all that Achilas Truma retroactively as a non-Kohen eating Truma. That's a serious offense. Okay. The other concern is that because she goes home to her parents every night, so what happens is that during Erisin, they'll have a get-together, she'll eat some truma, she can't finish the meal, she'll pack it up, she'll bring it home, her family's going to eat some of the truma. Okay, so for those two concerns, the Chachamim said that what we're going to do is that we're just simply going to hold off on her ability to eat truma until Nisuin. Okay, that was just a lot of information in less than a minute. Now, according to Mishnah Rishona, the following, and that is that she could start eating truma when? At the anniversary. Meaning the year has now come and gone, and they're supposed to get married, and again, for whatever reason, it didn't occur yet. So already, according to Mishnah Rishona, she could start eating truma, even though they are not, they didn't go through chuppah for whatever reason. And now there is a discussion also that I just read regarding the yavam as well. I'll explain it briefly. It's not relevant to our discussion right now. And that is that a yavam, obviously, in other words, we're talking about a kohen who died. His brother yavam obviously also is a kohen. Remember, yibam is only by paternal brothers. So by definition, the yavam is going to be a kohen as well. So now, as a yavama waiting to undergo the mitzvah of yibam with her brother-in-law as a kohen, and on top of that, also remember, she was married to a kohen. So can she eat truma? The answer is no. Okay. And there are more details which we can, you know, which I read over here. The simple way to just present it is no. The yavama cannot eat truma, even though her yavam is a quasi husband. It doesn't matter. The yavama cannot eat truma until the yavam performs yibum. But of course, once the yavam performs yibum, then they're husband and wife. Okay.
Because wouldn't you say that the other concern that you have with the regular Arusa is no longer here?
I could say more about it. Our purpose is right now, in other words, just the focus of the Gemara right now is on the woman who is primed to go through Nisuin. In other words, the anniversary has come, Nisuin has not been performed, and yes, she can eat Truma. That's the focus of the Gemara right now. So based in Shalachir Mamarina Shachos Bashumachi Tikhan Sakhupa. And once again, the based in Shalachronim, a later based in came along and said, meaning Mishum Rishona reflects an earlier based in. A later based in said, no. No meaning, even though the anniversary is come and gone. And even though he has to support her at this point going forward, she cannot eat Truma until she actually undergoes chuppah.
The Gemara uses the Kansla chuppah, the Mishnah says the Kansla Rishu, so...
Synonymous terminology. Again, it's that vague, ambiguous language of the Gemara to describe the second stage of marriage, right? The Kansla Rishu, so can't get more vague than that. The chuppah, okay, that's right. Like I said, right? We the Gemara uses words, but not clear in terms of what exactly that means. But Amalei Abai, okay, good. So now what do we have over here? What we have is seemingly, we have a wonderful equivalency, a parallel between the Shita Rebbe Eliezer in our Mishnah and the Mishnah Rishona of the Brice we just learned. Okay? And let's formulate it. Let's just say it out loud. And that is that he did Kedushin. A year later now, it's the anniversary. They're supposed to go through now Nisuin. For whatever reason, it was pushed off. He has an obligation to support her. According to Rabbi Eliezer of our Mishnah, once he has an obligation to support her, he's given Hafara rights. According to Mishnah Rishona, so if he's a Kohen, she could start eating Truma at the point of the anniversary, at the point where he has to start supporting her. So you see that coming with support is now his ability to be Mefer and her ability to eat Truma. And so what the Gemara says is these two shitas align with one another, right? And you now know what the Gemara is going to do. So the Gemara just constructed. The Gemara is now going to deconstruct. Okay, meaning not you don't have to say that. So Amarle Abaye Demalohi. Abaye says, I don't know, not necessarily. Adkan lo ki Ashmina Mishnah Mishnah Ela Lamecha B'Truma Derabanan Aval Nedarim Daraisa Emalo. So on one hand, you could say by Truma. Truma is, we're going to be more lenient because that's a din derabanan. Now, when I first read the Gemara, I made the mistake. I thought the Gemara was describing truma derabanan, meaning that the truma that we're discussing is truma derabanan. That's not the pshat. At least according to the Ran. The pshat in the Gemara is like this. The arusa can't eat truma. Why? It's not a daraisa iser, as we already outlined. Meaning min hatar, she can already start eating truma from the point of erisin. It's just because of the rabbinic concerns of she's got a mum, possibly she may feed leftovers to her family. So for those concerns, so therefore the chachamim put her on delay. But really, min ha-Torah, she can eat truma. So if the concern to begin with is only an iser derabanan, so already when the husband starts supporting her, okay, so now she can start eating truma. Anyway, midaraisa, she's allowed to eat truma. However, when we're talking about a faras nadarim, there, the Hafaras Nadarim right is only given to the Nesua. Meaning there is no Hafaras Nadarim right to the Arusa. So already we're looking at an Isser Da'araisa. Meaning she made a Neder. It's Chal Min HaTorah. He can only be Mefered when? Only at the point of Nisuin, Min HaTorah. So during Erusin, he has absolutely no right to do so. So it's you can't compare her ability to eat Truma, which Min HaTorah does exist during Erusin, and you can't compare that to Hafara during Erusin, where Min HaTorah, he doesn't have the right to do so. Okay, that's a that is a good distinction. The Gemara doesn't need me to say that, but... And we can also distinguish in the other way as well. And that is that when it comes to a neder, a wife makes a neder. Okay? She understands the relationship and she understands her husband has the right to be made for nedarim. In fact, because of that, every single time she makes a neder, she says, I'm making a neder on a contingency. What's the contingency? If my husband approves, good, and my husband doesn't approve, no good. And so, built into every neder made by the wife. Now, I say the wife, what I mean by that is, in other words, once she understands that she's moved into a new stage of marriage, so now, at that point in time, every neder she's going to make is going to be done al tanai, on the contingency of that my husband's going to be within approval. When does that mindset begin? Oh. That's exactly the point of Rabbi Eliezer. That mindset begins when he starts supporting her. Meaning now that he's supporting her, so now she understands we moved into a new stage of marriage. Meaning I know we didn't go into the chuppah yet, but every day he's coming over, he's feeding me. Yeah, my support is coming through him. Okay, now every time I make a neder, I'm doing so al tanai. I'm doing so based on a contingency. Perfect. And so that's the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. Truma has nothing to do with contingencies and conditions and tanai. Truma is simply, you can only start eating truma when you enter the chuppah, period. And there's no mindset that will affect that. Okay. So once again, a distinction can be made between the hafaras nedarim and that of truma. So basically, the Gemara is just simply saying, it was a nice attempt to put together the Shita Rebbe Eliezer with the Mishnah Rishona. But the Gemara says not necessarily. They can both disagree with one another. Ad kan takes us to the end of the Gemara. Let's quickly review. Let's recap. First part of today's daf, we wanted to know how critical Shmiah to the Hafara. So is Shmiah critical or is it not critical? Answers the Gemara. Doesn't seem to be critical. On the other hand, the Gemara also says that you at least have to have the ability to be Shomei Acherish cannot be made for the Nedarim of his wife. That was Amud Aleph. And then at the end of Amud Aleph, we also discussed whether or not he could be made for the nedarim of his two wives with one hafara statement, and the Gemara seems to conclude no. Although that in of itself seems to be a machlokus. And then on the Amud Beis of today's daf, so when can the husband now have exclusive rights to be made for nedarim? Or really, the Mishnah is focusing on when does she leave the domain of her father? So three scenarios: when she's a bogeris, after 12 months, and after 30 days for an almana. Now that is right then and only then is she leave the domain. Now after 12 months, does that mean that the marriage needs to occur? The nisuin needs to occur. Chuppah needs to occur. So machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. According to Rabbi Eliezer, 12 months, meaning once now his requirement of support kicks in, so then he could be made for nedarim, even if for whatever reason the chuppah has not yet occurred. And according to the Chachamim, no, Chitikanis L'Rishuso, right? It has to go into the Rishus. Then and only then can it be made for Nedarim. And then the Amud Beis was basically a discussion of, this sheet of Rabbi Eliezer sounds like it aligns with Mishnah Rishona, and the Gemara for the remainder of the Amud Beis says, maybe not.